Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly, the films Disco Boy, Aberrants, and The Kitchen.
The first film I'd like to talk about today is one of the most mistitled movies in recent memory. Why in the world this movie is called Disco Boy? Well, it makes a small amount of sense because, yeah, a very few minutes of the movie do take place in a discotheque. But my gosh, is this movie ever not about a disco boy? It is about very different things. And I want to say at the outset, it's a really, really good movie. Very, very strong. One of the best movies I've seen in quite a while, I must say. So here we have our main character, who is a guy who is named Alexei. And he is a Belarusian. And we first see him on a bus full of other Belarusians. And they're on their way to a match, a soccer match in Poland. And so the bus crosses into the border, and they are told, be very, very careful, because your visas are only good for Poland, and they're only good for 3 days, and you'll get in real trouble if you try to violate these things. Anyway, what happens is that Alexei and a friend of his named Mikhail, the next thing you know, they have taken off. They are no longer with that group who are on the bus on their way to a football match. They are now trekking through the woods together, and we realize very soon that these two are clearly going to get away from where they're from. They're no longer going to be Belarusians, and they're not going to be in Poland for a football match either. They are on their way to France, which is really, really what really want to go. So, eventually they make it to France. However, along the way, they have some adventures. But the adventures just take a little while, and before too long, they are in France, in Paris, and then the movie proceeds from there. However, in the first part of the movie, we also meet another very, very important character who is an African named Jomo. And he is a member of a guerrilla fighter band who call themselves MEND. They're trying to liberate the Nigerian Delta. They are Nigerian anti-government fighters, and they love to go down the river in their boats and fire their Tommy guns into the air and that sort of thing. So now we have a completely different plot about this rebel fighter. And by the way, we did get a little glimpse of him at the very beginning of the movie, which starts somewhat mysteriously with a whole bunch of men asleep on a porch in what appears to be Africa. And yes, eventually we come back to one of those people, and he is Jomo. And eventually, and this happens, in the first half of the movie, there is, in fact, a confrontation between Jomo, who is with his rebel band out in the jungle, and Alexei. However, I've left out now, and I got to tell you now about one of the most important things that happens with Alexei, and this is a big surprise to me. He joins the French Foreign Legion. That is how he runs into Jomo. He is now in the Foreign Legion, and Jomo is this anti-government fighter, and they take some hostages, and so that's how they find themselves at odds with each other. Now, I didn't even realize there apparently still is a French Foreign Legion. This is such an old, old sort of pop culture trope. You go to join the French Foreign Legion in order to forget. And then you forget what you went there to forget. However, this happens. And this movie, by the way, has been very, very strongly compared with a masterpiece made by the great French filmmaker Claire Denis back in 1999 called Beau Travail, Beautiful Work, which is a French Foreign Legion movie. And Disco Boy is the first French Foreign Legion movie I can remember since then. In any case, here's where we are now. We have Alexei, who has joined the French Foreign Legion. And by the way, that's a pretty arduous process. Only a few of the people who want to join actually get into the gang. And he manages to pass all the tests and do all the push-ups and the pull-ups and things like that. And so he gets in. A lot of the others don't. And then there he is out in the jungle with his little unit from the Legion. And he runs into Jomo. And then there is a confrontation, which has various results. Yes, Alexei does end up in Paris, and he does end up going to a disco a couple of times. And in the disco, he sees a gorgeous woman who, by the way, happens to be Jomo's sister, and he falls in love with her from afar, seeing her dancing in a sort of a balcony in the disco. She works there. And then various things happen. Now, I gotta now say the single most important thing about this movie, it is very dreamlike. Maybe that's why a movie which is really not about discos at all, it's about the French Foreign Legion and guerrilla fighters in the jungle and that sort of thing, maybe that's why it's called Disco Boy, to enhance that sort of dreamlike atmosphere. But it is called Disco Boy. It is very dreamlike, and there are things in it that sort of make sense and things in it that maybe don't quite make sense, and then there are other things that definitely make sense. Mostly there's an air of ambiguity about so much of it, and that's one of the things that absolutely attracted me to this movie. It is just so interestingly different from almost everything else around. Dreamlike, ambiguous, ambivalent, intersecting plots, although the main plot is definitely about Alexei and his adventures in Paris after he joins the French Foreign Legion. And anyway, it's a fascinating movie. I recommend it really, really highly. Again, one of the best movies I've seen in quite a long while, Disco Boy. Oh, I should mention that it is directed by Giacomo Ambrosesi, who is Italian, even though the movie is mainly in French with also some English. And I have to say, this is a very, very gifted filmmaker. I look forward to more work from him. What a good movie, Disco Boy. Highly recommended. Okay, now for something completely different, Aberrance. We are now dealing with a horror movie, and a horror movie which makes news in a certain sort of a way because it is being promoted as the first Mongolian horror movie to get into American theatrical release. It's also, by the way, streaming. It's pretty easy to find. Okay, it's actually one of the really, really few Mongolian horror movies or Mongolian movies of any genre to get into release in America. We don't see that many Mongolian movies, and judging from Aberrance, I wish we saw more because it's a very, very interesting movie. In this case, directed by Batar Batsukh. And anyway, it is very definitely a real horror movie, and it's full of horrors, and so you should steer clear of it unless you like horror movies, and even pretty bloody scary horror movies. So here's the setup for Aberrance. By the way, the title itself is sort of bold. I'm not sure a lot of casual moviegoers are really clear what that movie, what that title even means. And in fact, it sort of loosely is connected with the movie itself. The movie is not exactly about Aberrance in any technical sense. In any case, we have a man and a woman who arrive at the beginning of the movie in a really, really faraway cabin in the woods in Mongolia. And right away, the husband's name is Erkmi, and the wife's name is Selenge. And right away, we start to take against Erkmi, the husband. He turns out to be the husband, and she turns out to be the wife. She's an artist. Not quite clear for a while what he is. But we take against him because he appears to be totally obsessed with controlling his wife in all kinds of ways. Mainly, we see him forcing her to take these pills and being really, really angry when she doesn't take her pills. Well, this appears to be very sinister. What's going on here? Maybe he's kidnapped her. Maybe he's a really evil husband. But later on, we discover that really she really needs those pills. She has real mental difficulties, and these pills help to keep her controlled and help to keep her in control of herself. And so he's sort of doing her a good turn by making sure she takes her medication. But then all kinds of other things keep happening. Various strange events start occurring. There's also a neighbor, and the neighbor gets involved as a major character of the movie, and he is very suspicious about what's going on, to the point where he goes and spies through the window to find out what's going on. And so he becomes another very important character in the movie. Then a couple of friends show up. A couple of friends of Erkmay and Selenge show up, visiting. And they've apparently come from France, and they're much more cosmopolitan. And they don't seem to think that everything is very far amiss here in the household. So that's another thing that we have to sort of figure out for ourselves, what is going on here. And the friends also become significant characters in the movie, and they sort of come and go for a little while. Then all kinds of other things start happening. Another character emerges who is a physician who shows up, and maybe she's the one who's prescribing these pills and exactly what part is she playing in all of this mystery that's going on, and a tremendous conflict develops between the next door neighbor and the husband, Erchmi, and so forth and so on. So, yes, along the way, there is some real violence in this movie and some real horror in this movie. There's also quite a lot of suspense in this movie. One thing that's worth mentioning right now is that the movie is only about an hour and a quarter long. This at a time when so many of today's movies are long, 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 and that includes a lot of horror movies. Here we have a nice, tidy little hour and a quarter long running time, and the movie is lean and mean. It wastes no time, it wastes no gestures, it wastes no moves. It really, really conveys the story in a very rapid-fire way, but I always found it very, very clear to follow, even though there are mysteries that we have to solve for ourselves along the way. Among other things, why does the movie begin with a shot of a woman running through the snow-covered woods as if she was running away for her life? So this is another aspect of the movie. It is tight, it is economical, it is speedy, it is always clear, even though it poses a lot of deliberate mysteries along the way, and that in itself I found very refreshing. It's also very well acted. So hey, here we have a rarity, a Mongolian movie in general release, easy to get on streaming, in, you know, American distribution. And that in itself is a refreshing thing to see. And the fact that it's a really good movie, at least if you like horror movies, which I sort of do, then that's just a bonus. So again, Aberrants, unusual title, unusual movie, and a really, really good movie on its own sort of grisly terms. Final movie today, The Kitchen. We have a movie now, which is written and, directed by a team, Daniel Kaluuya and Kibwe Tavares. Now, Daniel Kaluuya is a very, very talented actor who is very well known as an actor. He is probably best known to most moviegoers for a couple of the Jordan Peele movies. He's in Get Out and he's in Nope. So yeah, a good actor. And he directed this movie along with Kibwe Tavares, and he also co-wrote it along with a writer named Joe Murtaugh. So Kaluuya is very much at the center of this movie, it's just a really, really, really good movie. Again, although one that I have some serious reservations about, what I'll get to in a moment. Now, I just talked about Aberrants, which is a horror movie. Now we have a science fiction movie, because The Kitchen takes place in the future. The movie is called The Kitchen. It takes place in a sort of a housing project that is on the outskirts of London, and it is a very poor housing project. It is not a privileged suburb. It is a very, very poor sort of project where a lot of people are live in very crowded conditions. The place is nicknamed The Kitchen because when they're going to be another one of the many, many, many horrible police raids that take place there, the people warn their neighbors by making a lot of noise with pots and pans. So that's why they nicknamed themselves The Kitchen. So there they are, and our main character, one of our main characters, whose name is Izzy, he lives in the kitchen, and he is a black man, as are so many of the residents of this underprivileged, poor community. So he works at a sort of a science fictional funeral service called Life After Life. So people who are too poor to afford a regular funeral service for their loved ones who have died can there instead have their loved ones sort of planted into the ground and turned into trees. Their bodies are used to fertilize trees. And so the idea is that in a way your loved one remains alive because now there is a tree growing out of the remains of your loved one. So, okay, that is where Izzy works. But things are getting worse and worse in this community, the kitchen, and Izzy is running into troubles, and it's not clear where he's going to live, and various friends of his are in terrible trouble too, although he is very much a loner, so he is much more the focus of this movie than are any sort of friends or acquaintances of his. They tend to be very minor characters. So that's what the movie seems to be about until he runs into our next character, main character, Benji, who is a boy, an adolescent boy. And he is also a real loner, and he seems to be very much on his own. And it's not clear where he's going to go or how he's going to survive. And he hooks up with Izzy. Izzy is reluctant for this partnership, but eventually he realizes he's going to have to cope with this because Benji really, really needs somebody to kind of look after him. So the two of them start becoming a team in a way, a very lonely team. They're both still loners, but now they're together, and they're dealing with various challenges that arise in this difficult life in this very poor community in the future. So It's an interesting movie. It has some very lovely parts in it, and a lot of people have really gotten enthusiastic about it. I have to say that in terms of its social issues, dealing with poverty, dealing with underprivileged people, dealing with race very much, it's very, very commendable in all those ways. The problem is I found the movie kind of dull. I just really wished it would get on with things. I wish it were more like a Burns in that respect. I wish it were more lean and mean. It really takes its time and kind of dawdles along the way. That is my major reservation about it. However, if you want an inventive science fiction movie that deals with very strong current 21st century issues, then I can recommend The Kitchen. It's a very well-meaning movie, even if it's a movie that I don't think entirely succeeds at what it sets out to do. And that is my somewhat science fiction story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Disco Boy, Aberrants, and The Kitchen.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.